Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:14 p.m. and that is Eastern Summer Time. Today is March 17th. I thought I would kick off with the Golden Dragons ETF in the US because it had that really impressive rebound yesterday, but hasn't followed through on the upside today. But Hong Kong did, and the HSI was up in a pretty dynamic manner. And the big question, of course, for a lot of people is going to be just how much money will China throw at the problem? And the currency probably gives us the best, I think, view of what that might be. Because the renminbi strengthened yesterday, and it didn't move a lot today, but it was stronger. Now, when we think about the property developers sector, it had a good solid rebound again in here today. So if we look at, for example, Longfor Group, then it has been coming down in a rather deleterious manner for the last couple of weeks, and then rebounded really quite impressively. And it's particularly relevant because this was one of the property developers that had been holding up better than many of the others. So it's now back in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. But the question still remains outstanding. What's going to be done with all of the property developers that aren't doing particularly well? And what about those that have been missing bond payments? And what's going to happen in terms of their businesses? So, for example, Shimao Group has posted an upside weekly key reversal and popped on the upside again in here today. So for these really heavily sold off companies, there's at least the potential that they're not going to be allowed to go out of business imminently, but doesn't necessarily mean that they're suddenly going to become the best performers in the Hong Kong market either. So now the question is going to be, how much money will China throw at this? Are we going to see the same kind of boom-bust cycle that we've had in cycles past? We can see, for example, that the A-share index went from really depressed levels in 2014 to really spectacular highs, and even that big move up from 2,000 to 5,500 in little more than a year pales in comparison to the big move up that we saw to the peak in 2007. So if one was to bet that that's what China's going to do this time, they're not serious about pricking the property bubble. They're not serious about the social engineering that they've been engaged in for the last year, and they're giving up on all of that. Well, then maybe they would be willing to print as much money as was required. But if they were going to do that, you'd think that the currency would get weaker, because we're talking about an exceptionally large quantity of cash, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of enthusiasm for thinking that that's going to be the case. So Alibaba hasn't given up yesterday's advance, but it isn't really following through on the upside either. So this is obviously also something that's preying on the minds of investors. And how much money China prints is going to be absolutely pivotal in terms of how successfully stock markets everywhere rebound. Well, obviously, we can think about the emerging markets because China represents such a large weighting in it. So the emerging markets ETF is also working on an upside weekly key reversal, and it's really quite oversold in the short term. So we could easily see a rebound rally back up towards the succession of lower rally highs. But we should then also think about some of the liquidity measures. So we can think about the yield curve spread. Now, the 10-year minus the 2-year is around 25 basis points and has paused a little in here recently. And The 10-year minus 3-month has continued, in fact, to expand. It's up to 181 basis points. So, despite the fact that the Federal Reserve is talking about raising rates at every meeting, in fact, the 3-year yield came down yesterday, and it's still sitting around 37 basis points, which is assuming that by the middle of June, interest rates have a 50% chance of going up by 25 basis points. But the Federal Reserve has basically said with their dot plot that they expect interest rates to go up by 175 basis points by the end of the year. So there's obviously some kind of mismatch going on here between market expectations and what the Federal Reserve thinks they're going to do. And this is, I think, in large part why the stock market remains steady, because the market pulled back on the expectation that interest rates would rise. Now we've had perhaps one of the most hawkish statements from the Federal Reserve in decades, and yet the stock market is taking it in its stride, and the S&P 500 was up about 1% in here today. Now it is back testing the 4,400 point level, and that represents the sequence of lower rally highs. And we're coming into the region of the 200-day moving average. So if this trend is going to remain consistent on the upside, we haven't quite unwound the overbought condition relative to the 1,000-day moving average, and if it can push up and through that 200-day moving average and then hold it, well, then that would be the end of this medium-term correction. So what happens next is going to be really quite pivotal. I haven't been keen to buy into this dip, despite the fact that we have short-term oversold conditions, because we're also now beginning a cycle of quantitative tightening. The Federal Reserve said yesterday that they're going to start quantitative tightening perhaps as soon as next month, and that the pace of that tightening will be faster than the last time round. But we have got a couple of examples now of what that does to markets. So the Federal Reserve took about $750 billion out of circulation between 2018 and the middle of 2019. And coming into the middle of 2019, there was a problem with liquidity in the high yield bond market. And then in September, October, there was a problem in the repo market. And overnight, the Federal Reserve had to engage in this massive infusion of cash. So they were already starting to reinflate the size of the balance sheet before the pandemic. And then, when the pandemic struck, within short order, the size of the balance sheet had doubled from the trough level. Then let's think about the first central bank that had to, or that attempted to take money out of the system. Between about 2012 and 2014, the ECB took €1 trillion out of circulation, and it caused deflation. So then, when they decided that they were going to change that strategy, within the space of the next couple of years, the size of the balance sheet had doubled. So then we can think about what's going to happen next. If they're serious about quantitative tightening and they're not really paying any attention to the fact that bond yields remain quite steady around the 2.2% level, and bond prices are really oversold right now, well, if the Federal Reserve starts to take money out of circulation, normally that would be positive for the dollar. But the dollar is not strengthening. In fact, it's starting to pull back. So there's a lot of different moving parts in here right now, and I think it's very easy to mistake the wood for the trees, because there's all these geopolitical events that are going on that are siphoning attention away from what's going on in the monetary universe. We've had a massive flight to quality as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Mostly people have gone straight in for commodities. So we continue to see upward pressure on oil prices. And oil has now rebounded again from around the $100 area. This is at least near-term support. And it's the first area of potential support around the big psychological $100 area. We have plenty of examples of prices bouncing from the $100 area between about 2012 and 2014. And this looks like another one of those. And gold prices are also starting to steady from the $1,900 area. Now, they weren't quite on the high of the day towards the close, but still bouncing from $1,900. Now, if the Federal Reserve is serious about quantitative tightening, then that was one of the primary bullish cases for the dollar between about 2018 and the beginning of 2020. The dollar index trended higher throughout that period because of quantitative tightening. They were reducing the supply of currency in the market. So if they do go ahead with reducing supply, that's going to be positive for the dollar, all other factors being equal. And if China were to engage in the kind of monetary accommodation that we've seen from it in the past, that would be bearish for the renminbi. But we're not seeing either of those factors occurring right now, and everyone is still really focused on what's happening in the commodity markets, but most particularly what's happening in terms of geopolitics and the potential for a swift resolution between Russia and Ukraine. But I just don't think that's a likely scenario. What I think it's much more likely is that it's in Russia's interests to sound like they're going to make an agreement while simultaneously pushing their military objectives along the south coast of Ukraine along the Black Sea. Because if they can successfully cut Ukraine off from the Black Sea, that's going to cripple exports and it's going to cripple a significant lifeline in terms of supply chains. And that's one of the primary objectives of any war, is to cripple your enemy's supply chain so they will eventually run out of resources and run out of food, but also run out of money. So then that would also open the door for Russia to basically carpet bomb bridges and roads in western Ukraine to stop the import of materials. So I don't see any real evidence that Russia has stopped with those types of objectives. And until we see evidence of an actual cessation of violence, then talks are really just another way of, it's a delaying tactic to stop an escalation of support for Ukraine while efforts are underway to subdue cities in the south of the country. But that's all circumspective, and that's just simply my opinion as an observer rather than any kind of military or strategic expert. But we're certainly seeing some enthusiasm that a swift end will be seen, which is helping to support some of these stock markets. And I think it's particularly relevant for Europe. But one thing that I think is also particularly relevant is Europe trades on a substantial valuation discount relative to the Nasdaq. And I think it is more likely than not that it's going to be markets outside of the tech sector in the USA that outperform in any recovery from this correction. But we also have to be aware of the fact that we are looking at liquidity measures that are tightening and also monetary measures that are tightening. The trend of the total combined deficit spending has begun to roll over. So this was a, I think, a really significant factor in inflating asset prices. I would also caution that it's not an especially accurate way of looking at it because the various countries included in this measure don't all report their deficits on the same day, so that contributes to choppy action. So I would draw your attention instead to the moving average. And between 2010 and 12, deficit spending contracted. It was pretty much steady between 2012 and 2018, and then ramped higher immediately after the Trump tax cuts were initiated, and has been rising since. But it is now rolling over. So we're looking at potentially simultaneous monetary and fiscal tightening, and then quantitative tightening, and so that would be balance sheet runoff and raising interest rates. And simultaneously, the US government failing to push through additional spending measures. If the dollar doesn't rally in that type of scenario, then it really suggests that we are moving towards really quite significant liquidity issues. So these are, I think, some of the really rather important factors. It also suggests that we're in for more choppy action from stock markets, that if we do see a rebound from here, that it's going to be a narrow rebound, and that portions of the market will do well, other portions will have difficulty sustaining rallies, and we're likely to see a change of the guard. So when we think about the performance of the Fang Man plus Tesla shares, they definitely rebounded yesterday. But it's been exceptionally choppy action over the course of the last few months. So I don't anticipate that we're going to see this measure breaking out to new all-time highs. I think that we are looking at a significant change of leadership, and that it's going to be more commodity and materials related sectors that do best from here. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.